not sure how to preach this, but I kept studying it, kept getting more and more points, more and more things. Like, wow, this really works out. And when God gives you something like this, it's neat to see how God can give you an outline. All the points are in this chapter. So we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Verse 3, Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." So Ezekiel 34 is a chapter that's talking about Israel's lack of leadership. Now, this was spiritual leadership. They needed spiritual leadership. They needed, can I say, physical leadership. They needed a leader to bring them out, to lead them, be it to war, to bring them back, whatever they needed. But yet these shepherds, as God calls them in this chapter, these leaders, or should have been leaders, were not doing their job. We could read down verse 4. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which is broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And we will go on. But basically we could say these shepherds, these leaders, were not doing their job. And God came to rebuke them. It reminds me of Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Without a leader, we wander. And just thinking about where would each one of us be without these spiritual leaders and without leaders like our parents or even government officials that tell us you can't do this, you can do this. Where would we be without these leaders, without these, as this chapter calls them, shepherds? What would we be? There's no telling. So we're thankful today for all our shepherds, all our good shepherds. We're thankful for pastors. We're thankful for other spiritual leaders, be it brothers and sisters, elders. So number one, a rebuke to the shepherds, verses 1 through 8. This is God talking to these shepherds that were not doing their job, saying, why are you feeding yourselves and not taking care of the flock? And we'll continue on in verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. This is talking about the flock that lacked a shepherd. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Verse 7, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds seek for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves, and not my flock. So again, a rebuke to the shepherds. And for us, are we ever that shepherd that God could come to and say, what are you doing? Why are you selfishly, why are we selfishly feeding ourselves, doing the things that we care about and not caring for those around us, not caring for those people that need to be strengthened, healed. Verse 4 it is, the diseased that need to be strengthened, the sick that need to be healed, those that are broken that need to be bound up. And it goes on, those that are lost, are we seeking the lost, those that need to be brought back, the wanderers. So is it a rebuke to us? It is a rebuke to me. Many times, I'm too busy doing my own thing. I'm too busy to listen to other people. I'm too busy to share what God's given me. That comes right out of selfishness. Yes, God is teaching me things, but I'm too busy doing my own thing to share with you, to share it with you, to encourage you to seek God's face. I'm too busy to witness. So is this a rebuke to us? In some cases it is. And I pray it's not all constantly a rebuke to us. This comes out of selfishness, as I said, Ezekiel 34, verse 2, the last part of it says, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock?" So they're feeding themselves over the people that God has given them, the flock, as it were. Then verse 3, "Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." And then verse 8, the last part of verse 8, it says, "But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock." Selfishness. Is that ever us? Are we losing some among us because we don't care enough to save the wanderer? Verses 5 through 8 here kind of talk about those that are wandering without a shepherd, getting lost. Verse 5 again says, "And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." Verse 6, "My sheep wandered." Are we caring enough to save the wanderers? Are we caring enough to save those, to reach out to those people that are wandering? Those that are straying, they're among us. Are we working with them? Are we living among them in our homes? We need to be sensitive to the Lord's will. Let's go to Matthew 7. Hold your place here in Ezekiel. But we're going to Matthew 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, part of a shepherd's job is to protect the flock from wolves, to protect the people they're supposed to be caring about from people that want to destroy them. Now, there's people in this world that want to destroy each one of us. They want to break down our love for God. They want to kill our love for God so that we will reject following God. Point number two, the good shepherd. Let's go back to Ezekiel 34. So first we see God rebukes these shepherds that are only caring for themselves. And they don't care enough to feed the flock. The good shepherd, verses 9 through 16. Verse 9 says, "Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from the feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." Verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." It continues on, "we will in a moment." But God's saying, these shepherds that I put over these people are not doing their job. So I'm going to come in and shepherd them. Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. It continues on, verse 12. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Verse 13, "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." Verse 16, "And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment." So many times, men, as we fail, we can fail as shepherds. We can grow weary in well-doing and frail to feed people as they should be fed, encourage people as they should be encouraged. But we're thankful that we have a God that sees our weaknesses and says, "I'm going to search you out. I'm going to search each one out." Even if we don't feel like we are shepherd as we should. We have a God that can shepherd us. We have a God that's searching for us, that wants to grow a relationship with us, that wants to feed us, that wants to pull us out of the snare, that wants to seek us when we're lost. What a great shepherd. John 10 talks about the good shepherd. Let's go to John 10 quickly. John 10, verse 11. John 10, starting in verse 11, it says here, this is Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth his sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Yes, God has called many people. God calls everyone to be a shepherd, to lead in some way. But ultimately, God is the ultimate shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Why? Because he knows his sheep. Verse 15, and the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd because he laid down his life for us. Therefore, we can know him. We can have a relationship with him because of that. Ephesians 1:18, just another verse building to this fact. Ephesians 1 and 8, verse 18. It says here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Sorry, the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have an inheritance in this good shepherd, and we understand that, and we're thankful for it, so thankful. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel 34. Point number three, God is looking for true shepherds. So as we read the first part of Ezekiel 34, God's rebuking the shepherds, the existing shepherds in that day, the leaders of Israel specifically, for not feeding the flock, for not caring for the flock. We saw the different things that they were not doing. So first we see God rebuking them, and then it doesn't go into the replacement for these physical shepherds. It goes right into the good shepherd, who we need to look to when our shepherds fail, when our earthly shepherds fail. And we see the failure. I'm thankful that we have a shepherd, a pastor here who seeks the Lord and truly wants to proclaim what the Bible says. But sadly, many churches around the world today have pastors that are there just for the money. Seriously. There's pastors there just for the job. It's an occupation to many. But it's not. It's a calling. God calls shepherds. And God's looking, point number three, God is looking for true shepherds. Could that be one of us? Could that be you? It should be. It should be all of us. Now, God's not going to call each one of us to be a pastor, to be a missionary, to be a Sunday school teacher. But we all have people that we can shepherd in some way. So Ezekiel 34. And we're going to skip down to verse 22 and read a few verses here. It says, therefore will I save my flock. This is God talking about his flock. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. So again, as I just said, God, the ultimate shepherd, but yet he's still looking for men. He's still looking for those men that are seeking God's face. And David truly was. And verse 23, God found that man for his nation Israel. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Servants after God's own heart. That was David. That's what God's looking for, is that us. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. Looking at David here still, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. It says here, verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And this is not the only time we could see in Scripture where a man as a leader fails. And God's looking for a replacement. And that can be a rebuke to us. Is God looking for a replacement for us? Is God looking for a replacement for me? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a leader in some way? Are we? But God's looking for men after his own heart. Those that want to do the will of God. Let's go to 1 Samuel 2:35. Back a few chapters. 1 Samuel 2. And verse 35 it says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." That is God's desire. He's looking for us to be after his own heart, to do that which is in mine heart and my mind, God's heart and his mind. But we must seek the Lord. Amos 5:4 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." That's what God says to all men. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. Will we seek God? Now let's go to Ecclesiastes 2. You know, there's two choices for us every moment of the day. Are we going to live for God? Are we going to seek the Lord? Or are we going to seek earthly pleasures, earthly things? I know there's obviously a time when we have to tend to these earthly things. But yet, while we're tending to these earthly things, we can be seeking the Lord at the same time. But Solomon here, a man that had great wisdom, a man that knew God, that understood God, but yet he had a choice, just like we do. Are we going to spend our days seeking after pleasures, seeking after earthly things? In Solomon's case, just seeking to know. Seeking knowledge, like Eve, wanting to know good and evil. But we know that we do not want to seek the evil, we want to seek the good. So Ecclesiastes 2, and we read verse 3. Solomon is saying here, "I sought in my heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainted mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life." This is just Solomon pouring out his heart here, saying, "I've sought to know." Verse 10. "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." And then verse 11, we see what he comes down to. "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I labored to do. And behold, all was what? Vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no more, and there was no profit under the sun." Why would Solomon say that? Why could Solomon say there's no profit? All these things I've done, all I've labored to build, all I've labored to obtain, all I've labored to do, there's no profit. It's just vanity. Because it didn't get him anywhere. Spiritually, it did not get him anywhere. And we could see later on in his life, all the women, the wicked women that he brought into his life, turned away his heart from God to serving their gods, little g. So yes, Solomon knew, and seven times in this book, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about this vanity and vexation of spirit. And every single time is talking about things of this world. Never once does he say, "I sought the Lord and I felt empty." No, it was always seeking things of this life. We're going to go to Jeremiah 3. This is a passage I've thought about the last few weeks. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah 3, and we're going to start in verse 12. It says here, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel." Let me see right away. This is talking about Israel again. Backsliding again. "Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." And verse 13 is the key. "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord." Verse 14, again, God's still pleading with his beloved nation. "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one in a city and two in a family, and I will bring you to Zion." In verse 15, this is God's heart. It says here, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, weeks ago, I was listening to the book of Jeremiah. Just listening to it, and I heard that verse, and I had to go back and look it up on my phone to read it. I'm like, wow, this is God's heart. He wants to give, specifically in Jeremiah 3 here, to the children of Israel, pastors after his own heart. That's what God's searching for. Now, again, as I say, not all of us are pastors, but you get the point. God's seeking for men and women after his own heart to lead others. If God has called you to be a shepherd, don't worry about being stuck tending sheep. And we're still thinking about David. Stuck tending sheep. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you feel like God's given you a vision or maybe a hope to do something in the future. Maybe it's a future ministry, possibly a future family, whatever it may be. Yet you feel like you're not in a place to shoot off and attain that. Don't worry about it. God has a perfect time for everything. David, he waited over 10 years after he was anointed to be king, before he became king. And we don't know exactly how many years, but we know he was 30 when he became king. And I'm pretty sure he was under 20. I can't say for sure when he was anointed to be king, but probably under 20. So we can probably say over 10 years to be anointed to be king. He waited. And for us, we can't think of it as wasted time. David, I'm sure, especially as he was running away from Saul for those years, this is a waste of time. God's anointed to be king. God has great things for me to accomplish as king. God has battles for me to win. Land to be conquered, things to do, successes. But yet, maybe he felt stuck. But God had a timing, God had a plan. Being in God's will is not always safe, but it is best. I was reading a different article, I don't remember when, but it was talking about this fact that being in God's will is not always safe. We say that physically safe. It's not. Think about John the Baptist. Was he safe? No. Was he safe in prison? No. Because a wicked woman wanted his head. He was not safe. But yet, was he in God's will? Yes. Think of Paul. Was he in God's will? Yes. Did he suffer much? Yes. We could look at the list. He goes on. And I don't think Paul did not write down everything that he went through. But he went through a lot. But yet he was in God's will. He was in the best place, even though it was not in the most physically safe place. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel 34 now. Ezekiel 34. Number 4, God blesses when he can find men that he can use. God blesses through usable men. God bless greatly, as we just mentioned through Paul. God bless and use John the Baptist. As Jesus himself said, there is none greater than John the Baptist. God bless through these men. And we see here in Ezekiel 34, God blessed the nation of Israel through his servant David, which is specifically mentioned here. So Ezekiel 34, we're going to start and read 28 through the end of the chapter. It says, "And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God." Verse 31, "And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture." Can't you just hear the love of God here? "And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture." Even in, the verse where it talks about God being married to the house of Israel. God loved the house of Israel. He has special love for them. God has a special love for each one of us. Verse 31, "Ye my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord." Serving God is so worth it. And what is the treasure, the ultimate treasure that we have? It is God himself. We have a relationship with God, or we can. If you don't, you can have by accepting his free gift of salvation and learning and growing through him. But it's incredible to see the progression. As we see again, the early part of chapter 34, God looks down at Israel and sees a people wandering, a people that were sick without a healer, people that needed to be bound up. They needed to be found. And God says, "Shepherds, what are you doing? You're feeding your own selves, forsaking the people that need to be fed." And then we see God himself saying, "I'm going to take these selfish shepherds away from you, and I'm going to be your shepherd. I'm going to seek you out." And again, we have a shepherd that's seeking for us, that wants to grow a relationship with us, that wants to heal our diseases, that wants to heal us spiritually. And then we see God finding the man, a man that was after his own heart. David was after his own heart. David was humble. He was humble enough to wait. He was humble enough to feed the sheep, to tend the sheep, waiting for the day when God called, when God would actually put him in the position that he was anointed to be. And then we see in the last part of chapter 34 here, God's blessing on those that will do the will of God. Those that will seek God out and saying, "Lord, what do you want from me?" And that's what we need to do each day. And for me, it's more like every moment of the day. "God, what do you want me to do?" I can get so sidetracked with things and things and things and totally forget about what God wants me to do. And for you that are possibly struggling with, possibly you're called to be a pastor. Maybe you will be one day. Or maybe it's not full-time, evangelism, being in the ministry full-time. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe it's even going out and trying to share the gospel with them. I want to encourage you, it's only through God's strength. We don't have the ability. David knew that. David knew that he didn't have the ability to fight Goliath. He looked to God. So I encourage you, and really I'm preaching to myself. I need this probably more than any of you here. You know, I personally am at a time in my life, yes, God's called me to the mission field. Yeah, I'm in a place where I pray, I'm preparing. Now obviously, I could prepare more. I could be more earnest, and I pray that I will be. But I need to be content where God has me right now. But yet the danger comes when I become too content too easy, when life becomes too, can I say, comfortable, that I lose vision for what God has called me to do. So there's a balance there. But we need God to direct us. But it takes a continually seeking of God's face to tell us where he wants us to go and for us to listen. So let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for leading us. And Lord, I thank you for different shepherds in my own life. Lord, there's many men, many women that have encouraged me to go on, that have encouraged me to seek your face more. Lord, we are so, at times, distant from you. But Lord, that's our own faults. Forgive us, Lord. We want to be near to you. Lord, you want to be near to us. Lord, you love us. You want to seek us out. Lord, we want to seek your face. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful to see people in need all around us. Lord, maybe it might not be lost souls, or maybe it will be lost souls. But Lord, help us to see the need. Lord, we need your help. Again, I seek your face. Lord, we want to continually seek thy face. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless us feeble people. Father, I do pray for the different ministries later this afternoon. Lord, there's many people in those homes that are not saved. Lord, there's many people there that are too confused, physically even. Lord, would you open their eyes? Would you open minds? Would you work in hearts? Lord, again, I seek your face. I seek and look forward to what you are willing to do through us. Lord, would you bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.